This morning we're in Revelation chapter 17, and the title of this morning's message is World Religion Falls. Ecumenism is defined as the principle or aim of promoting unity among the world's Christian churches. And on the surface, it sounds very well-intentioned, sounds really good. But to many, this is actually another word for spiritual whoredom. Now, that is something that's being promoted today as far as unity is concerned among the Christian churches. But there's more to it. There's more to it. In fact, Psalm 133:1 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And so indeed it is good, and it is pleasant, and it is a beautiful thing. And it glorifies the Lord when we see the brethren dwell in unity. But there is currently a strong movement to unite the various religions, not just Christianity. And I believe it's a movement that is happening to fulfill the very thing that we're about to see this morning. First, we're going to see a little of what's happening within the evangelical church. C.H. Spurgeon said this, quote, "A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats," close quote. And I believe that we're actually in that time when people don't want to hear the authoritative word of God, let alone the counsel of shepherds that God has called to feed the sheep. People today are inclined to do whatever they feel they want to do and call it Christianity as they twist the scriptures to meet their own desires. As we previously went through the study of some of these types of churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we saw carnal churches, we saw churches that lost their first love, sensual churches, and lukewarm churches, all, by the way, of which were rebuked. Even in America, we have people who worship religious freedom, seen as the Southern Baptist Convention, is helping to build mosques because they feel that it's the right thing to do, as the government infringes on their right of religious freedom. Not SBCs, but Islam. And so they are coming to their aid and helping them build these mosques. We enjoy religious freedom in America, but that doesn't mean that the Bride of Christ is to unite itself or herself with organizations that worship other gods. That would be harlotry, prostitution, idolatrous. To be joined to another other than God is all those things. Now, there are some popular movements today that we are very familiar with, such as Hillsong, Bethel, Jesus Culture. And you have things happening within these movements that are not of God. They're not good, but they're of the world. Hillsong is using the perverted character of Austin Powers to promote a women's conference. Hillsong New York has a performance with a naked cowboy. And then we have Hillsong London putting on a performance just here this year during Easter, playing and dancing to voodoo ritual music. Bethel Church is promoting demonic chanting, being possessed by spirits, and other things such as seeing black feathers falling when they're worshiping, saying gold dust appears on their bodies, gems appearing in their hands, and clouds in the sanctuary that they say is the very presence of the Lord. And then you have United Methodists who are saying they are pro-faith, pro-family, and pro-choice. Really? That's the unification that we want to see? Kind of in the name of tolerance? When's the last time you read your Bible? And I ask this of you, church. When's the last time you read your Bible? You know, let me encourage you, okay? These are the days to where we are calling on to be discerning and have wisdom. This calls for wisdom, godly wisdom. And yet the very one thing that we overlook is the one thing that is critical, that is so necessary to endure and have faith. And that is simply this. Open up your Bible. Open up your Bible. Know what the Word of God has to say about these times that we're living in. If you don't do this, you're going to fall for anything. I've asked you time and time again, what causes you to stumble? What causes you to fall away? Sometimes it's the littlest of things. No, listen, this is a time to bear down. And that's why I love the Apostle Paul. Because for the sake of the brethren, he said, I'm here for your benefit. But I'd much rather be with the Lord, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'd rather be with him. But you know what? For your sake, I'm here. What is your purpose? I can tell you what your purpose is according to the Word of God. It's to glorify him in serving him. And being being in spiritual worship, a living sacrifice unto the Lord. That's our response to him. And so I tell you that because I read these things and I think, how many people are being duped? How many people are falling to the wayside? In fact, I tell you, there's going to be news of another pastor that's fallen. You're going to hear about this very soon. Right now, it's gone quiet, and it's on the East Coast. He's fallen to drugs and alcohol, and he was a very prominent figure within the church, and I can tell you specifically within Calvary Chapel. And he was together. He was kind of intermingling strongly with Hillsong. Folks, it's no time to play. It's not time to be lax. You guys understand? I'm speaking to you as a shepherd, okay? I'm pleading with you. You know, let's stand up. Let's be counted for. Because I give you a church that is indeed uniting, but it isn't for the glory of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but rather to fulfill exactly what we will see this morning, judgment. Judgment. That breaks my heart. A religious body is growing that will be undoubtedly tied to the world and used by it, but in the end it will be discarded by the beast and its world leaders. I wanted to make sure that we clearly go into this chapter knowing what we're dealing with here, because it speaks to us this morning. In this chapter, we will see this religious system described as Babylon. And in the next chapter, we will see a political and economic Babylon described and its fall, its judgment. This is, by the way, this is the good news, because this is Jesus' systematic step-by-step victory over Satan, over the Antichrist or the beast, and over the false prophet. And ultimately, there will come a time that we will go into in Revelation to where we will see Jesus establish his kingdom here on earth. Now listen, as far as Babylon is concerned, Babylon has always been described as the birthplace of world religion, where man first attempted to exalt himself by building the Tower of Babel. You remember that? And then God confused their language and they dispersed. But according to religious history, the Babylonian religion was founded by the wife of Nimrod, Semiramis. Nimrod, by the way, was a great-grandson of Noah. Semiramis was known to be the high priestess of idol worship, and she gave birth to a child whom she allegedly conceived miraculously. Sound familiar? It's a perverted version of the virgin birth. This child, his name is Tammuz. He was considered to be a savior. It was said that this child was killed by a beast and was miraculously brought back to life. Baal, you've heard of that name throughout Scripture. Well, it was the Canaanite name for the Babylonian Tammuz. And is mentioned in Ezekiel 8:14. If you're taking notes, you can take a look at this yourself. Ezekiel 8:14, Jeremiah 7:18. And Jeremiah 44:17-19, and then Jeremiah 44:25. It's all there. And I tell you this so that you can understand the reference of the great prostitute being Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes, and of earth's abominations, as we're going to read this morning. Now listen, every age of the church has had a harlot who has abandoned the truth and prostituted herself with false religious beliefs and idolatry, and persecuted, by the way, God's people through false accusations of legalism, up to torture and even mass murder. So, but again, world religion will fall. The King of Kings will reign. He is sovereign. He is all powerful. He is still on the throne today. This chapter is broken down into three major sections. Number one, we'll see the great prostitute is exposed. Secondly, we'll see the mystery of the great prostitute is explained. And thirdly, we will see the great prostitute is expired. And so, why don't we all stand up as we read this chapter, and then we'll explain it. All right? So, Revelation chapter 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled greatly." This is John. "But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called, chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, 'The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages, and the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast, will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire, for God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth.'" Oh, Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, just asking that you would give us understanding of your word, that as we understand what is taking place here in this chapter, Father, that we would be encouraged, Lord. Lord, to draw closer to you, to cling to you even, to walk closely with you in a way, Lord, that we cannot fall so far as to fall away from you, to be deceived by people who are there just to entertain, to tickle our ears with what we want to hear, people who are motivational speakers instead of speaking your truth. Lord, we are not here to be entertained, but we are here to sit at your feet. We are here to hear from you, from the very voice of God himself. Lord, that we would be fed, encouraged, built up, and stirred up to good works, and knowing your grace and the love that you have for each and every one of us. And so, Father, may you teach us to stand up and to be counted with you, the victor, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May all be seated. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says this: Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. That is a warning, something that the Apostle Paul had written to Timothy. And Timothy was a pastor, and he wrote those prophetically. Like I said, we're living in that day and age. We're living in that time. And we need to be encouraged by the Word of God. We need to be walking in the truth of what God has to say in His Word. So number one, let's take a look at the great prostitute exposed. Because some of these things we need to work out. We need to understand exactly what it is that we just read. You know, if you just read it on the surface, it seems very confusing. It's like, okay, so what is it? We're going to break it down. And it's actually very understandable. Okay? So number one, the great prostitute exposed. This is covered in the first six verses that we read. It was God's purpose of revealing the judgment of the harlot to John so that we today would be aware at this very time in the history of mankind that we would know for the sake of enduring till the end. I mean, I can go back to chapter 13 of Revelation and tell you that in the midst of all of this tribulation, that the Lord is telling us, here's a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Remember, I told you that nothing will justify our compromise. That even during that time, God is telling us, hold fast. Remain holy. Remain pure. Remain one with me. The great prostitute is described as sitting, we're going to go through this, sitting on both many waters and on a scarlet beast. This is covered in verse 1 and verse 3. Sitting on many waters and on a scarlet beast. Secondly, the great prostitute has caused the people on earth to be drunk with fornication, sexual immorality. That's verse 2. And she herself is described as being drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus in verse 6. So if you slow down and break it down, it's pretty clear what's going on here. What is happening today in our world? And even infiltrating the church. There is this tolerance of sexual immorality. Someone was telling me about a university that's not too far from here. That's considered to be like the San Francisco of Southern California. They ask you, number one, what your major is. And secondly, how you sexually identify yourself. It's like, what? What do you mean? It's like, really, that's that important? I tell you right now, this nation, the way I've seen it, our society is drunk with sexual immorality. It's infiltrating every area of our lives. Go to our public schools. What is happening with the bathroom issue? What is happening with so many other areas of our everyday lives? The great prostitute is intermixed with the rulers of the earth also. And they are thus intertwined with sexual immorality and intoxicated or possess unclear minds because of her. You know, sexual immorality will affect one's minds, the way we think. In fact, it's apparently there's been research that with pornography, did you know that your IQ actually drops? That's only one effect. But there are so many effects to sexual immorality, fornication, pornography, the entertainment of all of these things. has affected, impacted, and infected our society, our world. The great prostitute is dressed also royally and richly, but also possessing great acts of hatred toward the Lord and deliberate immoral acts in verse 4. So the way this woman is described, very rich, having these jewels, gold, pearls, holding in her hand even a golden cup full of abominations and impurities of her sexual immorality. It's a deliberate defiance of God. It's in direct opposition to who He is and His character. He is faithful. She is unfaithful. The great prostitute had a name of mystery, but this mystery is revealed in verse 5. And the scarlet beast is described as being full of blasphemous names, and it had 7 heads and 10 horns. We're going to learn more about that in the next section. But we see that in verses 5 and in verses 3. We also see this great prostitute described as sitting on the scarlet beast. The scarlet beast is Satan. Scarlet is the color of Satan and sin. Now, practically speaking, whatever animal a person is sitting on is subject to go wherever the beast takes it. See, this prostitute, this great prostitute, this harlot, may be sitting on the beast, but it's being taken wherever the beast wills it to go and is doing its work. John is now marveling at the scene, wouldn't you? You're being shown this. It's like, wow. Wow, who wouldn't marvel at this? Like, this is amazing. This is, wow. It's beyond comprehension what I'm seeing here. Especially John knowing the time in which he's living in. And by the way, the one kingdom that is in existence at that time and all others have fallen is the Roman Empire. He's marveling at this scene, but the angel is about to explain the amazing exposure of the great prostitute and the beast. So the Lord exposes who this great prostitute is, but He's not going to leave us there. He's going to explain it to us, explain her and the beast. And we see that in the following verses. As we go to verse 7, He explains it. And I do want to read this again because I want us to slow down a bit and understand what we're reading. Verse 7 says, "But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns that carries her.'" So it's about to be explained. Just go a little further in Scripture and you always see it worked out in context. "The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast." So they're going to long to see the beast because it was and is not and is to come. This calls for a mind of wisdom. "The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the mountain is seated. There are also 7 kings, 5 of whom have fallen. 1 is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an 8th, but it belongs to the 7. So he'll be counted with the 7. And it goes to destruction. This is the second time that this is spoken to us. That it goes to destruction. "And the 10 horns," verse 12, "that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour. 1 hour. Together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast." We'll leave the best to the end, so I'm not going to read 14. The mystery of the great prostitute. It's explained for us here. First of all, The beast is clearly connected with the beast of Revelation 13. We can also note in your notes right there, Revelation 11, chapter 11, verse 7. What is being explained does require a person, though, to possess wisdom. This is what we see here. John is being told, hey, listen, this requires wisdom. James chapter 1, if we lack wisdom, we are to ask without doubting. And God will give to us without holding back if we don't doubt. God will give you all the wisdom, all the understanding. He'll teach you these things. He'll open up your eyes to understand this. This is clear. I understand this. But it does require wisdom. A clear understanding of God's truth. Just remember this. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "For the word of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And so we who are saved, we can look at the cross and we're like, man, that is the power of God. But to everyone else, it's like, that's foolishness. Really? I mean, this man went to the cross and died. If you die for each other, that's honorable. But really, he's Savior? It's foolishness. But to us who know salvation, oh, it is the power of God. And we understand that to be true. Verses 9 through 11 speaks basically of seven heads that are described as seven mountains upon which the woman is seated. There are some commentators who say that because Rome is on seven mountains, it is describing Rome. But Rome is actually on seven hills, not seven mountains. And the Bible oftentimes associates mountains with kingdoms. Which makes sense because as you continue to read, it's explained for us, right? There's kings, there's rulers. That's what we see here. These seven mountains are told to us that there are seven kings, seven rulers. And so that's why I'm telling you, it gives us the sense as we continue to read through. And the great prostitute is sitting on these seven kingdoms, you can say, these seven mountains, or overshadowing all of these earthly kingdoms with kings. Including the eighth, which is part of the seven, who is the scarlet beast that she is riding upon. So although Satan is outside of the seven, he will become a part of them at one point, but only for a short period of time, is what we just read. So five of the kingdoms by this time will have already fallen. One will be in existence, and when Satan sets up his kingdom, it will only last, as we read here, last for 1 hour, a very short period of time. Again, Satan's kingdom being the eighth, but will be identified as part of the seven kingdoms that we just read. And then we see the ten horns. The ten horns are explained to us also here. We don't have to try and speculate as to exactly what this means, what really John is trying to tell us, because it's very clear. The ten horns are ten kings or rulers, and they at this point don't have the power, but will have authority and power for a very very short period of time, and will immediately hand over that power to Satan. In fact, Revelation 16:16 describes the assembling of the kings from the east coming against the Lamb of God. And it's described as the Battle of Armageddon. It's a very short battle. They assemble, and just as soon as they assemble, it's all over. But notice that they willingly and united hand over their power and authority to the beast. So they allow him to have this decisive power over them in order to organize the earth's kingdoms against the Lamb. It's like, hey, we understand even in Satan's kingdom that there is organization. There is a pecking order. And so you know what? We will willingly give you power and authority so that you could unite all the kingdoms that are necessary to come and stand against the Lamb. We're going to do that. We willingly do that. We are united. We stand united. This will be not only a united action by the leaders of the world. And we don't know. I mean, here's the thing is, United Nations, how many nations are a part of that? You know, at this point, we don't know exactly what body is going to come together, what nations are going to come together. We know some, but we don't know exactly, you know, like in detail, how or exactly who, at what time it'll all come together. But here's the truth. Here is what is important, is that they will come together, and they will be united, and they will willingly give over their power and authority to Satan himself. So this is not only a unity of the world's leaders, but also of the people who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But notice that two times already, John is told that the beast will go to destruction. Verses 8 and 11. And then in verse 14, let's read it now. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. That's the good part about this. It's like, hey, listen, for those who are in Christ, we are victorious with him. All of this will take place. But there is no army, there is no force that is more mighty than the Lord. And he will conquer. And then we have the great prostitute expired. We see that in verses 15 through 18. And the angel said to me, the waters that you saw, where the prostitute is seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the 10 horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. Wait a minute. I thought they were all in unity. I thought they were all together. Yeah, they were, but the tables quickly turned at this point. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. So it's going to be the whole earth, the 10 rulers that will together come against with the great or come against the great prostitute in the end. And they will completely devour her. The same blasphemous religious body that was used by the world will be hated by the world and consumed. You see, in the end, Satan does not tolerate any worship other than the worship of himself. His desire is that none worship anyone else but himself. There is nothing above him, and he is it. Remember, he sits in the place of God, and he exalts himself, and he says he is God. And remember that it will be at this time, at this point, that all power and authority will have been willfully given to Satan. See that? This is why I tell you, the only way we can do it in one of two ways. We can give it over to him. We can do it ignorantly, because if we don't know the Word of God, if we actually don't know what love is, we will make up our own version of what love is, and we'll spread that philosophy throughout the world, and we'll actually impact everyone around us. And we will all be in unity and in agreement. And at the same time, handing ourselves over to the one who deceives and destroys. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. God came to give us what? Life, and that more abundantly. He came to offer us salvation for a certain hope of forever being in His glory. So we can give it away in one way is by ignorance. We don't know any better. We have failed to take full responsibility and read the very Word of God that we have before us and have wisdom that is required, especially in these days. Or we can willingly, and this is worse, be defiant. I know what your word says. I'm going to stand to argue against it. I believe that it's not entirely inspired by God, but maybe the men were. But it's written by a bunch of guys. And it's filled with error. It's like, well, show me one. We may do it defiantly. Actually, knowing the Word of God and refusing to do it. It happens all the time. We only heed it when we want to heed it. When we don't, when it doesn't fit our fancy, might as well do that. Just put it away. I tell you, church, now is not the time to do that. It's time to get in the Word. It's time to truly walk victoriously in Christ. I totally appreciate, you know, people who persevere, who continue to walk regardless of what they face. It's beautiful. David Guzik said, quote, "This has always been the goal of tyrants," what we just read here, this whole turning against this one world religion. "This has always been the goal of tyrants and most politicians, to use religion for their purposes, then discard it," close quote. Is it any wonder that this one world religion, this harlotry, is defined also as the great prostitute? Because that's exactly what happens. And we know it. We know it. Used, abused, and then discarded. Having no value whatsoever. There will be a centralized authority, as we see here in the last verse, over the religious body. There is going to be a headquarters, so to speak, that is assembled under the banner of unity, acceptance, and tolerance. Folks, there is way more that you can read on and study in regards to what's happening with world religion. What the Pope is saying in regards to uniting with others. Rick Warren is saying about joining together with Islam. It's all around us. I believe that this is a time when the church is being refined. I believe that this is a time to where we as Christians are going to have to draw a line and say, I am not crossing that. And you know what? I believe that we're going to lose a lot of people for the sake of standing with the Lord. Of saying, you know what? I'm not going to cross that path. I'm not going to associate with this person or that person. Although, up to this point, they have been what they were. I can't do it anymore, though. I can't, because I know. I believe that the church also will be strengthened through this. All assembled under the banner of unity, acceptance, and tolerance. This will be the woman, the great prostitute, the harlot, and the great city that will have dominion over the kings, the rulers of the earth. But will one day be turned on completely by Satan and completely destroyed, consumed left off to the side. This will happen until the words of God are fulfilled. This is all to take place exactly as God said it will. He said, hey, this is going to happen. Stand fast. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. I want to read to you this. I don't know if it's going to be on the screen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Do we have it? Yep. Okay. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God, that's what we just went over, or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Alan Redpath said this, quote, in The Making of a Man of God, the machinery of the church is put to very severe strain and is working overtime. But that which the machinery produces so often lacks evidence of heavenly reality. The mass production of modern industry, all kinds of good which attract the eye but have little lasting quality, is too often evident in the Christian church. In days like these, I believe that it is quality and not quantity that is going to count. Close quote. I remember reading that years ago, and it just came up again as I was kind of looking over that book. The question for us today is, does the world system rule over me, or does Christ truly rule over me? Is it an American Christianity that rules over me? That can be thrown out there in so many different ways. Is it a liberal view of Christianity that rules over me? Is it a blasphemous view of Christianity that rules over me? What will it be? Because it's either Jesus Christ who truly rules you or Satan. There's no in between. You either look forward and marvel and can't wait till the return of Christ, or you're looking forward to these wonders, these things that will really make you feel like you're the center of the universe, which we're not. Although God is mindful of us, that blows me away. There's no in between with Satan. You'll go to destruction with him. That's the truth. With Christ, you will be victorious and know eternity in all of His glory through His grace. I invite you to choose this morning and then stand fast. Folks, this is the truth. I'm not mincing words. I hope it was very clear. I hope you understand the times in which we live. It's no time to second guess. It's no time to straddle a fence. It's either you're in or you're out. And I hope to stand with all of you, truly moving forward in Christ and knowing His victory by the way we live our lives to His glory. Because Revelation 13:10 says, here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. If you don't know salvation this morning, I hope that you would come. I'll be standing up here. Ask me whatever you want to ask. It takes acknowledging your sin, separates you from the Father. Jesus came to die in your place, to to pay for that sin, Lord, which we could not do in and of ourselves. Repent from that sin and ask Jesus to forgive us, to help us to turn from those things which bring shame to Him and cling to Him and help us to walk with Him. We are in desperate need of His help, even day to day, to walk with Him. But to know salvation is to know a certain hope. And it's at that point that He starts working in our lives and starts that work of sanctification. But if you're not His this morning, if you've been compromised in any way, I call on you this morning. Respond to His grace. Respond to His love. Even now He's speaking to you. And He desires to have a personal relationship with you. And it comes by way of repentance. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we are truly grateful, first and foremost, for that grace, for that love that You demonstrated through Your Son on the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Lord, this one world religion will fall, but You will stand forever. Oh, we thank You, Lord, that we can run to You in time of need and find help. We can find mercy in time of need. We thank You, Lord, that You do speak truth to us. That in You there is no deceit, there is no lying. Lord, it's just speaking to us in love. And that means sometimes giving us the bare truth to where it's amazing, Lord, the judgment that will come. But it is, but there's a way to escape it. And it's through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would all be there. We would all be surrendered and our lives given over to our one Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord. We praise You in Jesus' name.